Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, saying goodbye to your pet, how to know if or when to get another pet, and what to say to someone who's grieving a loss. So we will start with this article. It's entitled Moving On After Losing an Older Dog, but most of the wisdom in it can apply as well when experiencing the loss of any pet. In the Whole Dog Journal, Linda Goodman writes, letting go of our furry companions from the past and embracing those in need now is the only way to move on after a pet's death. The occasion of getting a new puppy or dog should be just as joyous as bringing a much wanted and long anticipated baby into the world. In the best of possible worlds, the dog's new family is welcoming, loving, and eager to learn as much as possible about and share as much as possible with the latest addition to the family. The transition almost always goes smoothly when the family is experienced with dogs and already knows about providing healthful diets and gentle teaching for their canine companions. Ever so often, though, I meet very knowledgeable and caring dog people who experience undue conflict and tumult when they are getting used to their new dogs. When I know that people involved know how to properly take care of a dog, that the problem is not simply a lack of knowledge about how to help the new dog succeed in the household, I suspect that the problem is not with the new dog. Often I've found the issue is actually one that was never resolved concerning the family's last dog. The last dog was the best dog. Usually, we expect to outlive our dogs, though we don't generally think about it when we bring home a new puppy. We know that he'll eventually grow into an adult and then a senior dog by the time his muzzle and legs turn white and he moves a little slower. Our feelings for him will be without compare. After a lifetime together, he will become the best dog we've ever known. By the time our old dogs pass away, most of us have forgotten that there ever was a time when our best dogs weren't perfect companions. We forget the trying days of puppyhood, when a few of our favorite possessions got chewed up, and when accidents happen on our rugs. We forget about how much time it took us to habituate the young dog to riding peacefully in our cars and playing non-destructively in our gardens. What we tend to remember is how wonderfully behaved our old friend was, how easy it was to spend time with him, how he always knew how to make us happy. So when we get a new dog or puppy, it's difficult not to make comparisons. But these comparisons will interfere with binding a relationship and honoring the gifts this new soul brings into our lives. Remember, it will take some time for the newcomer to walk in the idealized old dog's footprints. Avoiding comparisons between pets. To avoid comparisons, some people choose a dog who is totally unlike the previous pet, so they will not be constantly reminded of their loss. Others prefer to have one who resembles their previous dog because the look makes them feel warm inside. Whatever you choose to do, be open and honest with your new dog. Tell him each and every day how special he is and how honored you are to be his person. Let him know about the dog who died. Tell him that your tears may flow sometimes with memories, but that does not mean you will not be able to appreciate the gifts he has brought to share with you. Unfinished mourning. Another mistake people make is to obtain a dog before having completed the mourning process for their old dog. Sometimes people have difficulty with the mourning process. They cannot let go of the memories and are devastated by the loss. Talking and being with people who understand can also help the process. Professional grief counselors and pet grief support groups can work miracles. However, no one should ever be rushed through the process. Some well-meaning friends may say, it's time to move on. You've got to get on with your life. Get over it. He was just a dog. Why not just get another dog? Etc. A person in this position should pay no attention to these types of comments. Some of us love our dogs very deeply, and we bond with them in special, unique ways. For us, dogs are not replaceable. We need time and understanding to heal from the loss before we will be ready to love another dog. It's very important that no one be allowed to force a new dog on someone else. A spouse, friend, or well-meaning relative may try to buy a puppy to help you forget. They should be politely told that we will never forget, and we do not want to forget. We will remember our lost dog all of our lives, and eventually we will remember him or her with great joy. Then, when the time is right, we would like the luxury of being chosen by our next dog. Case in point, once a woman came to my puppy teaching class with an 8-week-old terrier mix puppy. She said she wanted help with what she characterized as all the usual puppy problems. But from the very first puppy class, I could tell she was dealing with more than all the usual puppy problems. She seemed very detached from her puppy. She never made eye contact with him and almost seemed afraid of him. The puppy, too, seemed to be having trouble with the relationship. He made a few attempts to engage her and then gave up and decided it was more fun to play with the other puppies. I just figured they were getting used to each other, and after a week of working with her puppy, things would improve. Boy, was I wrong. When she came back the following week, it was evident to the whole class that something was not right. As she entered the teaching center, the puppy strained to get away from her and wanted nothing to do with her. She actually seemed relieved that the puppy had the other dogs to play with. She was content to totally ignore him during the entire class. As I worked with the class, I surreptitiously watched her and her puppy and thought about how I could best help the emotionally distant duo. As the session ended, I asked the woman, if she could stay after class for a few minutes. I told her that I thought she had chosen a wonderful puppy. He was cute, funny, playful, and had the potential to be a great companion dog. He was very smart, very social, and really wanted to be friends with everyone. I then asked her how she felt about the pup. Her response was unemotional and noncommittal. She said she liked the dog well enough, but he simply was not the same as her dog who had died. Immediately, the picture was clear to me. She was comparing the puppy to a deceased dog who had lived with her a very long time. Plus, she had not chosen to get the puppy. Her dog had been dead less than a month when her husband brought home the pup to help her get over the loss. She wanted to like the puppy, but felt guilty, as if she were betraying the memory of her former dog. Every time she looked at the new puppy, she remembered the other dog and could not shake her feelings of sadness and guilt. We sat and talked for a while. I asked her to tell me a little bit about her old dog, and she cried and reminisced about him. I could tell that they had loved each other deeply. After our talk, she said she felt a little better. I then told her not to worry about the homework assignment I had given the rest of the class because I had a different and special assignment for her. I told her to go home and light candles and incense in memory of her dog. Then I wanted her to curl up somewhere comfortable with her puppy and tell him all about her old dog. I wanted her to tell the puppy several of the memories that made her cry and several memories that made her laugh. She was to share as much of the joy and sorrow she had shared with her old dog with this brand new little dog. I told her she might feel a little foolish doing this, but that it was important. It was immediately evident the next week when they returned to class that a miracle had happened. They came in and were bonded with each other. You could see it in their faces. The two of them actually looked physically different. Everyone in the class remarked about the change. They proceeded to become the best students in the class due to a powerful connection between them. Their love for each other was evident in every interaction they shared. After class, the woman came up to me and hugged me and thanked me for the advice I had given her. She said she went home and did everything I had suggested. She said she didn't feel silly and that she had laughed and cried buckets of tears. Afterwards, she hugged and kissed her puppy. She realized for the first time how adorable his face was. Nothing has been the same since. You'll be ready only when you're ready. Some people get very stuck in the mourning process. They cannot get over the loss and vow they will never have another dog. They say the heartache of losing a dog is just too much to bear, and they never want to go through that kind of pain again. When I hear people talk that way, it hurts me to think of all the devotion, joy, and love their dog gave them, and all they can remember is the pain of the final moments. After all, in the grand scheme of things, death is just a brief moment. It shouldn't erase the wonder of a lifetime of giving. It seems to me the greatest honor we can pay a deceased pet is to mourn the pet, heal during the process, and then be ready to love and learn from another dog. This says that having a dog is a worthwhile experience. The pain of losing this dog should not overshadow the joy of having a dog in our life. When a dog leaves this life, allow yourself the time and luxury of a mourning period. There is no manual to tell you how to mourn or how long. You will mourn until you are finished with the process. When you find you are laughing and smiling at the memories of your deceased pet instead of crying at the mere thought of him, when you're looking in pet shop windows and in the pet column in the classified ads, stopping to look at the free puppies in front of the supermarket, or just feeling that there is now room in your heart to love a new four-legged wonder, then you are healed. If you let your new dog share your truth, your love, and your heart, you'll find that he'll very quickly become your new best dog. Linda Goodman, who wrote this, operates Porgy Teaching Center in Riverside, California. You can visit the Whole Dog Journal's website at whole-dog-journal.com. Next, how long after the death of my dog should I wait to get another dog? This is from Jenna Strigowski, RVT, on the Spruce Pets. She writes, the death of a beloved pet is heartbreaking, and the grief does not go away overnight. Many owners struggle with the decision to get a new dog. How long should you wait before getting your next dog? Will you ever be ready to share your life with another dog? There's no way to say for certain when the time is right to get a new dog. This is a very individual decision that often happens organically. Some people only wait days to weeks, possibly because they cannot bear to go long without a canine companion. Others need several months to years before they are ready to bring a new dog into their lives. Some people even decide they no longer wish to have dogs. The situation is different for everyone. However, here are some guidelines that might help you make the decision that's right for you. Grieve for your dog. First of all, take the time to experience your grief. It's normal to be sad, angry, or lonely for a while. It's also okay to feel relieved and sad at the same time, especially in cases when your recently deceased dog suffered from a long or serious illness. Avoid trying to immediately fill the void with a new dog when you have not processed your feelings over the loss of the last dog. You might end up projecting negative feelings onto your new dog or having unreasonable expectations. Instead, wait until you feel a sense of peace about your previous dog's death. Yes, you may still be grieving. However, it's best to be at peace where you are processing your grief and it does not dominate your life. Consider your household. Consider the other people living in your home, your spouse, partner, significant other. Children, roommates, and other family members should have a voice. Are they ready to welcome a new dog into the home? Are they still grieving? The decision to get a new dog should be one you make as a group. Have household meetings to discuss what it is on the minds of everyone in the home. Once you can all agree to get a new dog, you can then discuss details like what kind of dog to get and where to get the new dog. Choosing your new dog should also be a group process. Consider your other pets. If you have any remaining pets, consider them before you add another dog to your home. Remember that dogs grieve too, and so do other pets. Your dog and other pet may feel sad and lonely without his company, but that doesn't mean a new dog will help. In some cases, bringing a new dog into the home before your dog is ready can cause quite a disruption. Watch your remaining pets closely for the days to weeks following your previous dog's death. Look for subtle changes in personality, activity level, and appetite. Make sure they are not showing any signs of illness. Once you are confident they are back to their normal selves, then only then should you consider adding a new dog to your home. Once you get your new dog, be sure to introduce all pets gradually and carefully. Think about your needs. Try to get an idea of what your life is now like without your dog. Are there goals or plans that you put off because of the care your previous dog needed? Maybe now is the time to take that long vacation or sabbatical. Does your home need repairs or renovations? Perhaps it's a good time to revisit previous plans for going back to school, changing jobs, or relocating. It's better to make any lifestyle changes before adding a new dog to your life. Then, if and when the time is right, you can find a dog that is right for your new lifestyle. Think about your responsibilities. Consider the new set of responsibilities that will come with a new dog. It will take time to help your new dog adjust to a new environment. You will likely need to work on some training as well. Your new dog may need more exercise than you are used to, especially if your previous dog was a senior. Because you likely had many years with your previous dog, his care may have become a matter of routine for you. A new dog will have a whole new set of needs, many of which may be unexpected. Therefore, you should make sure you are prepared to make lifestyle adjustments if necessary. It may even be a good idea to approach this as if you were getting a dog for the first time. Getting your new dog. Once you feel that the time is right, you can begin the process of choosing the right dog. Avoid running out and getting the first dog you meet and like. Before you look for a new dog, determine the age, personality, and energy level, and size of your ideal dog. Decide what factors are the most and least important to you. Adopting a dog can be a wonderful idea. Many dogs in rescue groups have been living in foster homes. The foster owners can usually give you a pretty good idea of what to expect from each dog. Your beloved dog can never be replaced, but a new dog can be a beautiful way to share the love in your heart. Some people find that the heartbreak of losing a dog was too difficult to ever go through that pain again. Sadly, they may choose to no longer have pets. However, most people realize that they want to continue sharing their lives with dogs. By opening your life up to a new dog in need of a home, you are honoring your dog's memory. The human-canine bond is a beautiful thing. Now, what if it's a cat? How long after your cat dies should you wait before getting a new cat? Kelly B. Gormley has this from Catster. If you lost a beloved cat, it can be tough to tell when and even if you're ready to adopt a new cat. Let's look at the process of pet grief and more. Losing a cat is devastating for a household's humans and other pets. While no cat can replace another beloved cat, each pet, like each person, is unique. Hopefully you will open your heart and home to a new cat at some point. But how long after your cat dies should you get a new cat? And what can you do to make a successful match? Experts in pet grief offer many pointers, though all emphasize that grieving a pet is an individual process full of gray areas and subjective feelings. There's probably not necessarily a right or wrong answer, says Eric Richman, a licensed independent clinical social worker with the Tufts University Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine hotline for people grieving a pet. Trained veterinary students staff the hotline, which offers free phone support. I don't think there are any absolutes in this field, he says. I would encourage anybody to talk to somebody, their veterinarian or professional in the field. Should your new cat look like the one you lost? If you lost, say, a white cat, you might fall in love with another white kitty. Feeling like this look-alike feline is closely connected to your deceased kitty. Other people do what football teams do for legendary players. They retire the jersey. and never again want to get a cat that looks just like the one who passed on. There, Fluffy remains their one and only Siamese cat, for instance, and any future cat will be a different breed or color. Sometimes getting a cat that resembles your cat, your late cat, works out well, Richmond says, but he cautions people about the potential emotional pitfalls. This new cat is an individual with his own personality and not a reincarnation of your old cat. Two cats may look almost identical, but one may be cuddly and the other more playful. And a new cat doesn't have the same memories and history. It's a whole new relationship. My general feeling on it is that you have to be very careful about replacing a cat, or any pet for that matter, and particularly trying to mirror the same breed or the same color, says Richmond, who does pet loss counseling and is starting a support group. The expectation in doing that is that the cat will replace that replaces the cat that dies is going to be the same. And that is almost never the case. People might be setting themselves up for a difficult new relationship. Ask yourself, have you grieved and are you truly ready for a new cat? Again, grieving a pet is very individual. Some people may actively grieve for days or weeks after losing a cat, while others will grieve for months or longer. Richmond recommends considering how raw you still feel and whether you have the emotional strength and energy to put into a new human-animal bond. If you don't, it wouldn't be fair to a new cat. There will be memories that may make you sad at times, but they should not be overwhelming, Richmond says. I'd pay attention to what you're saying to yourself. Is it, I want another cat like Fluffy around? As opposed to, it would be wonderful to have another cat in my life I can love again. Karen Litzinger, a Pittsburgh-based licensed professional counselor who has training from the Association for Pet Loss and Bereavement, says the decision to get a new cat is an intuitive one. It's really trying to pay attention to your own feelings about it and not be focused or worried about the people around you and not get caught up in your own fears, Litzinger says. She creates and sells a CD called Heal from Pet Loss for grieving pet parents. I think it's just an inner knowing, but also knowing there isn't a clear-cut decision. Litzinger recommends allowing at least a month for grieving in most cases, and if you have other cats, they too will be grieving. Both the humans and surviving animals can each support and nurture each other, Litzinger explains. What if you don't think you can go through the heartache again? Sometimes people say absolutist things out of grief. For example, many say they will never have another cat at first, but be careful about declaring that and thinking you must stick to it. Richmond says, people may want to protect themselves from feeling this kind of pain again and experiencing the loss of another cat when the time comes. But Richland and Litzinger encourage people to keep an open mind and heart. Sometimes eventually bringing another animal into your life honors your special animal's memory, Litzinger says. It's not dishonoring them. It's not replacing them. It's actually allowing all that love and bonding that you had to grace another animal. If you really feel like you are not ready to adopt a new cat, a good alternative is to volunteer as a foster parent for a shelter or rescue. That way you're still connecting with animals and helping them, Richland says. And when the time is right, you may come to a point where you are ready to give one of your foster kitties a forever home. Sometimes a homeless cat will show up on someone's doorstep or otherwise cross paths with a grieving person. And ready or not, consider that a blessing and a sign, Litzinger says. It might happen serendipitously. I love that, she says. What a beautiful tribute to your animal to help an animal that comes into your life unexpectedly. Now, what if it's someone else who has suffered a loss? Be considerate of those mourning the loss of a pet. Things Not to Say to Someone Mourning a Pet by Jeanette Hurt at Paw Culture. The hardest part of having a pet is losing a pet. And as anyone who's ever mourned the death of a beloved pet or is facing the prospect of euthanizing their pet knows, well-meaning friends and family members sometimes say the wrong things. Here are some things you should never say to someone who has just lost their pet, and some more appropriate options of what to say instead. Don't say, "It was just a pet." Pets are intimate family members, and anytime you lose a pet, you lose a family member. Some owners don't necessarily expect to feel upset over the loss of their pet as they do, which can make hearing comments like this worse. Instead, acknowledge their loss. Don't say, "At least you had 15 years together." Except for certain species of birds and tortoises, people don't outlive you. Pets don't outlive you. And as a pet owner, you know from time to time your pet was a small kitten or puppy that you're eventually going to outlive them. Pointing out the obvious doesn't help with the pain of the loss. Instead, say, "I'm sorry." People think that "I'm sorry" isn't enough, but it is, says Russo, who instructs a bereavement class for veterinary students and helps them manage a pet loss hotline. Mailing a card, sending an "I'm thinking of you" text, or just leaving a kind message can be helpful. Don't say, let me know what I can do. Instead, do something practical. It's better to suggest things instead of just leaving it up to the person who's grieving. Russo says, if I can do anything, just let me know. Sounds like a wonderful offer, but it's too open-ended. And don't say, make it the best weekend ever. If you've had to schedule your pet's euthanization, you know that even if your pet is acting all right, he or she is dying. And this last weekend, week, or even day isn't going to be your pet's best weekend, week, or day ever. Instead, say, "This must be really hard. Anyone who makes the decision to euthanize a pet usually agonizes over it. Euthanasia is the hardest thing, and it's the kindest thing at the same time. The biggest thing is judgment. The person who is grieving is judging him or herself already because guilt is part of grief. And with euthanasia, right away we feel guilty because we're not asked to euthanize any other loved ones. Grief isn't a linear process. Davy says when she was a child, she had a Cocker Spaniel that her parents gave away because it barked too much. And that will do it for this time. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.